If you came home one day and saw someone you didn't know breaking into your neighbor's house through a window, what would you do? When we moved from Revelstoke to Mournville, a good friend of ours drove the moving truck to our house, and he was about a day ahead of us. When he got to Mournville around 10 p.m. at night, he started unloading the truck by himself. Around midnight, he got a knock on the door from the local police department wanting to know what he was up to. When he opened the door, he said to the police, "I was kind of expecting you." If we can recognize the people who shouldn't be in our neighborhood in the middle of the night, can we recognize the people who should not be intruding in our spiritual lives? If Jesus is not the center of our lives, we may actually be entertaining things that are false. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you do not hide yourself from us. In Psalm 91, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard." Lord, give us receptive hearts to hear your voice in our lives and then to instinctively obey you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. My text today is going to come out of John chapter 10, verse 1 to 21. I'm going to read it to you. Ernie will have it up there pretty quick. John 10, 1 to 21. "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. Opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used the figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and that abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father and lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." Again, the Jews are divided because of these words. Many of them were saying, "He is a demon. He's out of his mind. Why listen to him?" Others were saying, "These are not the words of one who is a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" We're in the season of Lent, which is 40 days of preparation that will lead us into Resurrection Sunday. This period of time is to be a gift to us to allow our hearts to be quieted in the midst of the busyness and noise all around us. It gives us an opportunity for us personally and corporately to reflect on the direction our lives are headed. Quite simply, are we moving toward Jesus or away from him in our words, actions, and deeds? Is God's favor resting upon us, or are we avoiding and opposing the move of the Spirit in our lives? This is a great chance to sift out some of the secondary things in our life so we can put first things first, and that is having Jesus at the center. In this season, we've been focusing our messages in the Gospel of John with the I Am sayings of Jesus. Thus far, we've looked at, "I am the bread of life," "I am the light of the world," and before Abraham was, I am. Today, we will focus on I'm the gate for the sheep. John chapter 10. But what happens in John chapter 9 actually sets up what plays out in John chapter 10. Chapter 9 starts out with an abstract problem for some. This could be something people could discuss over coffee at work or maybe in the classroom. In John chapter 9, Jesus' disciples are walking down a road and they come across a man who was born blind. Do you know that it's not normal for a healthy baby to be born blind? So the disciples begin surmising how this person found themselves in such predicament. They ask Jesus, was it the man's sin or his parents' sin that have left him in such a state? How would you answer this question? Sometimes we think a person is in such a fragile and broken state because they deserve it somehow. Jesus answered them by saying, neither. Neither his sin nor his parents, but rather so God could be glorified. We live in a world where things are broken because of the contamination of sin, our neighbor's sin, the sin of governments and institutions, and the list goes on and on. But when Jesus comes as the Messiah, he ushers in God's kingdom where we get a glimpse of things being made whole again, where what is right happens. Jesus says, is so God's work might be revealed in the blind man, or so the power of God can be seen in this man. What do you expect to happen next? Jesus heals the blind man. When God's kingdom is in place, the blind see, the lame walk, the possessed are freed, and those in spiritual darkness encounter his healing light. This does not sit well with the religious leaders. They have their minds made up that Jesus is a fraud and a detriment to their agendas. They look for ways to undermine the man's healing by interviewing him and then his parents and then the blind man again. God is not coming the way they wanted or expected, and the same can be true for us. I could not imagine what it would be like to be blind all of my life and incredibly be able to see. I would tell everyone. The formerly blind man is telling everyone. There should be parties everywhere. Instead, there's inquisition. John chapter 9, 32 to 33, a stunning rebuke comes from the blind man who can now see to the religious leaders. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a blind person. If this person was not from God, he could do nothing. The chapter ends in John 9, 39 to 41 with these thoughts, reading from the NLT. Then Jesus told them, I entered this world to render judgment, to give sight to the blind, and to show those who think they see that they're blind. Some Pharisees who were standing nearby heard him and asked, are you saying that we're blind? Jesus said, if you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty. But you remain guilty because you claim you can see. So John chapter 9 points us to John chapter 10, which will help us discover who is indeed spiritually blind and who can really see. So the first five verses of John chapter 10, Jesus uses a different imagery to clarify his point of instruction. So starting in John 10, 1, very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs through by another way, is a thief and a bandit. There is truly only one way to God. It is through this gate. Verse 2, the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. Who is the shepherd of the sheep? Jesus is. Verse 3, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Only those who submit to the lordship of Jesus want to follow Jesus. And so they are continually listening for his voice. Psalm 123:2, it says this, we keep looking to the Lord our God for his mercy. Just as a servant keeps her eyes on their master, just as a slave girl watches her mistress for the slightest signal, we are waiting with anticipation each day to see God act and to join with him. John 10:4. When he brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of the stranger. In essence, the former blind man will not follow the religious leaders because they are strangers, while Jesus is the good shepherd, a voice that is known to him. John 10:6, it says, the people did not understand what Jesus was trying to say. Have you ever tried to communicate something to your coworkers, your children, your parents, and they had no idea what you were talking about? So Jesus attempts again in verse 7 by saying, I am the gate for the sheep. And in verse 9 again, I am the gate. If you've ever tried to sort animals on a farm, gates are essential. You could chase the cow, the horse, the sheep, all over the barnyard. But until they go through the gate, your job's not done. Verse 9, when Jesus says, I'm the gate the second time, he also clarifies all who enter through him will be saved and will come in and be able to go out and find pasture. Just like Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The shepherd provides all the sheep needs, all we need. John 10:10. The contrast is clear. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. It kind of matters which voice we're listening to, as one brings life and the other death. John 10:11 and 14. Jesus declares he's a good shepherd. Jesus is loyal and is committed to the sheep's well-being, to care, protect, and love them. Verse 12 and 13, the hired hand has no interest in risking his own skin for the sheep when the wolf shows up on the scene. John 10:14, 15, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Which of you would be willing to fight off a bear or a wolf that is after a stray jackrabbit in your yard? Just like Jesus has a relationship with the Father, he has a relationship with the sheep. Jesus is willing to lay down his life for the sheep as he has a relationship with them. When we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it makes all the difference in the world. The shepherd will indeed lay his life down for the sheep at Golgotha. John 10:16. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. The other sheep that do not belong to this fold is the Gentile world, anyone who is not Jewish. God came to save, heal, rescue the whole world. John 10:17, 18, for this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay my life down in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. This is what we see at Easter, on Good Friday, when Jesus gives up his life. On Easter Sunday, he raises it back up again. What Jesus loved doing was the will of the Father. He freely chose to be obedient to the Father's voice. In the same way, we want to listen and be obedient to Jesus' voice in our lives. The text ends, John 10, 19-21, with the crowds having all different conclusions to what Jesus said and who he is. Again, the Jews were divided because of the words. Many were saying, he is a demon. He's out of his mind. Why listen? Others were saying, these are not the words of one who is a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? This is the fourth time in the Gospel of John that someone has suggested that Jesus is demon-possessed. When people don't like what they're hearing, they attempt to vilify the person that isn't sounding like them. To quote the former blind man again, John 9:32, "Never since the world began has it ever been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind." In the book, The Syrian Shepherd, Anissa Baradi tells the story how one day he tried an experiment with a friend of his who was a shepherd on Mount Lebanon. He borrowed his friend's staff, his cloak, his headgear, while his friend the shepherd hid. Then he called out to the sheep in a familiar phrase shepherds use, "Ho ho ta 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 ta, ho ho ta 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 ta." And then he looked back to see if the sheep were following him. Not only were they not following him, they were freaked out. He stretched his hand out to coax them to come by any means possible, and they only stood there like statues. Sheep may not seem very smart, but they know the shepherd's voice. Do we know our shepherd's voice? Do we know when Jesus calls us? Sheep, shepherds, lambs, flocks are mentioned 698 times in the Bible. Jesus often used agriculture imagery, as this is how most people made a living. It was familiar to them. In this passage in John, where Jesus declares, "I'm the gate," the word gate is mentioned 6 times for emphasis so we don't miss it. Do you know that sheep are some of the most helpless creatures on earth? And getting lost can be an everyday event. Sheep can graze all day while never looking up and have no idea where their home is. You don't need a GPS to find your keys. You need a GPS to find your sheep. Sheep are totally dependent on the shepherd who tends them with care and compassion. Shepherds were the providers, guiders, protectors, constant companions of the sheep. Psalm 23 again. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." In essence, Jesus, the great shepherd, provides all any of us will ever need. Let me say that again. Jesus can and will provide everything any of us will ever need through our entire lives if we place our trust completely in him. Part of the problem is we have a hard time of letting go of control. We've been hurt and let down by all kinds of people before that we thought that we could trust or should be able to trust, like friends, family, even other Christians, and they failed to save and rescue us in our time of need. But the difference here is that we're all fallible and fail others and even fail ourselves at times. But Jesus is not like this. He can actually do what he says he can do: heal, provide, restore, renew, redeem. But the only way that you can live into this experience in the abundance that God promises is if you daily relinquish control to the Good Shepherd. Otherwise, it just becomes all about us again and who has disappointed us. I have a friend who said his wife hates when they go on trips in the wintertime. So he drives and she hides in the back of the car. And periodically she shouts out from the back, "I think you're going too fast for the conditions of the road." We say we've given up control only to grab the steering wheel again. So yes, Jesus is our shepherd. But the other imagery used here is, he's the gate. I am the gate. It's only in Jesus and only through Jesus that any of us have spiritual life. There are always going to be people with competing voices who can talk a good game of New Age, religion, spiritualism, even the occult. But there's only one who could truly set us free from the bondage of sin and bring us complete wholeness. This incredibly happens in our relationship with each other. We stop seeing others as the enemy, but now welcome them as friends. In our relationship with God the Father, We no longer fear God, but welcome and long for his presence among us. In our relationship with ourselves, we're at peace with who we are. And we're no longer choosing to compare ourselves with others. And we're at peace with our world. No longer are we using everything in the created world for our benefit, but we honor and celebrate all of creation. This is all possible because Jesus is the gatekeeper who protects us and can settle our troubled hearts in the midst of all the dangers. Jesus loves us so much, he laid down his life for us. And now he asks us to trust him and follow him wherever he leads. Let's pray. Jesus, we know that you are good. But we are scared of letting go of control. We fool ourselves into thinking that we can do a better job of protecting our well-being than you can, even though doing it our own way has led to many missteps. We want to be part of whatever you're doing, both individually and corporately, as a community of your followers. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I confess, bow
couple announcements, benediction, one more song, you'll be dismissed. Just a couple reminders, our next movie night is going to happen Thursday, April 10th. Tonight, once a month, we do this, the last Sunday of every month, where we have singing time and prayer time here at the church. It starts at 7, and you can come and stay as long as you like. With that, we have a great time with that. As well, if you want prayer this morning, there'll be somebody in the back corner to pray with you. When we were growing up on the farm and wanted cows to go a particular direction, we would start out with a wide thing like a corral, and as we were directing them, it would get narrower and narrower and narrower till we got to be able to take the cow the direction we wanted to go. In your life right now, there may be things going on where you're not quite sure what is happening, or you're not quite sure what God is doing. But I'll tell you this, He might be narrowing some of your options because He's actually trying to direct you. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that He is the good shepherd. And as Jesus said, I am the gate. Amen.
When the night comes, when you're all alone, when there's trouble stirring in your soul, and if the world is falling apart, just hold on till the morning break of dawn. Have a great week.